Holly Golightly chewed her hair silently. Then she said, "They never told me not to tell anyone, in so many words. And it is funny. Maybe you could put it in a story with different names and whatnot. Listen, Fred," she said, reaching for another apple. "You gotta cross your heart and kiss your elbow."
Perhaps contortionists can kiss their elbow. She had to accept an approximation.
"Well," she said with a mouthful of apple, "you may have read about him in the papers. His name is Sally Tomato, and I speak Yiddish better than he speaks English. But he's a darling old man, terribly pious. He'd look like a monk if it weren't for the gold teeth. Of course, he was never my lover. As far as that goes, I never knew him until he was already in jail, but I adore him now. After all, I've been going to see him every Thursday for 7 months, and I think I'd go even if he didn't pay me. This one's mushy," she said, and aimed the rest of the apple out of the window. "By the way, I did know Sally by sight. He used to come to Joe Bell's bar. Never talked to anybody. Just stand there like the kind of man who lives in hotel rooms. But it's funny to remember back and realize how closely he must have been watching me, because right after they sent him up, along came this telegram from a lawyer. It said to contact him immediately for information to my advantage."
"You thought somebody had left you a million?"
"Not at all. But I took the gamble and went to see this lawyer. He asked me how I'd like to cheer up a lonely old man, and at the same time pick up 100 a week. I told him, 'Look, darling, you got the wrong Miss Golightly. I'm not a nurse that does tricks on the side.' I wasn't impressed by the honorarium either. You can do as well as that on trips to the powder room. Any gent with the slightest cheek will give you 50 for the girl's John. And I always ask for cab fare, too. That's another 50. But then he told me his client was Sally Tomato. He said dear old Sally had long admired me, à la distance, so wouldn't it be a good deed if I went to visit him once a week? Well, I couldn't say no. It was too romantic."
"I don't know. It doesn't sound right." She smiled.
"You think I'm lying?"
"Where, for one thing, they can't simply let anyone visit a prisoner."
"Oh, they don't. I'm supposed to be his niece."
"And it's as simple as that? For an hour's conversation, he gives you $100?
"Oh, he doesn't. The lawyer does. Mr. O'Shaughnessy, he mails it to me, in cash, as soon as I leave the weather report."
"I think you could get into a lot of trouble," I said, and switched off the lamp. There was no need of it now. Morning was in the room, and pigeons were gargling on the fire escape. "After all, you're not his niece. And what about this weather report?" She patted a yawn.
"But it's nothing. Just messages I leave with the answering service so Mr. O'Shaughnessy will know for sure that I've been up there. Sally tells me what to say. Things like, 'Oh, there's a hurricane in Cuba, and it's snowing in Palermo.' 'Oh, don't worry, darling,' she said,
moving to the bed.
'I've taken care of myself a long time.'
Then she lay down beside me.
'Do you mind? I only want to rest a moment. So let's not say another word. Go to sleep.'
I pretended to. I made my breathing heavy and regular. Bells in the tower of the next door church rang the half hour, the hour. It was 6 when she put her hand on my arm. A fragile touch, careful not to waken.
"Poor Fred,"
she whispered. And it seemed she was speaking to me. But she was not.
"Where are you, Fred? Because it's cold. There's snow in the wind."
Her cheek came to rest against my shoulder, a warm, damp weight. "Why are you crying?" She sprang back, sat up.
"Oh, for God's sake,"
she said, starting for the window on the fire escape.
"I hate Snoops."
The next day, Friday, I came home to find outside my door a grand Lux Charles & Co. basket with her card, "Miss Holiday Golightly, Traveling," and scribbled on the back in a freakishly awkward kindergarten hand, "Bless you, darling Fred. Please forgive the other night. You were an angel about the whole thing. Mille tendresses. Holly." P.S. I won't bother you again. I replied, please do, and left this note at her door with, what I could afford, a bunch of street vendor violets. But I neither saw nor heard from her, and I gathered she'd gone so far as to obtain a downstairs key. At any rate, she no longer rang my bell. I missed that. And as the days merged, I began to feel toward her certain far-fetched resentments, as if I were being neglected by my closest friend. By Wednesday, thoughts of Holly, of Sing Sing, and Sally Tomato, of worlds where men forked over $50 for the powder room, were so constant that I couldn't work. That night, I left a message in her mailbox. Tomorrow is Thursday. The next morning rewarded me with a second note. Bless you for reminding me. Can you stop for a drink tonight? Six-ish. I waited until 6:10 and then made myself delay 5 minutes more. A creature answered the door. His shoes sported elevated heels. Without these added inches, one might have taken him for a little person. His bald, freckled head was dwarf big. Attached to it were a pair of pointed, truly elfin ears. He had Pekingese eyes, unpitying and slightly bulged. Tufts of hair sprouted from his ears, from his nose. His jowls were gray with afternoon beard, and his handshake almost furry.
"Kid's in the shower," he said,
motioning a cigar toward a sound of water hissing in another room. The room in which we stood seemed as though it were being just moved into. Suitcases and unpacked crates were the only furniture. The crates served as tables. One supported the mixings of a martini, another a lamp, Holly's red cat, and a bowl of yellow roses. Bookcases, covering one wall, boasted a half-shelf of literature. I warmed to the room at once. I liked its fly-by-night look. The man cleared his throat.
You expected?
He found my nod uncertain. His cold eyes operated on me, made neat exploratory incisions.
A lot of characters come here, they're not expected. You know the kid Long?
Not very, I live upstairs. The answer seemed to explain enough to relax him.
So what do you think? Is she or ain't she?
Ain't she what?
A phony.
I wouldn't have thought so.
You're wrong. She is a phony. But on the other hand, you're right. She isn't a phony because she's a real phony. She believes all this crap she believes. You can't talk her out of it. I've tried with tears running down my cheeks. Benny Poland. Respected everywhere. Benny Poland tried. Benny had it on his mind to marry her. She don't go for it. Benny spent maybe thousands sending her to head shrinkers. Even the famous one, the one can only speak German. Boy, did he throw in the towel. Mind you, he said, I like the kid. Everybody does, but there's lots that don't. And I do. I sincerely like the kid. I'm sensitive, that's why. But I'll tell you the truth. You can beat your brains out for her, and she'll hand you horseshit on a platter. She's strictly a girl. You'll read where she ends up at the bottom of a bottle of Sakinals. I've seen it happen more times than you got toes. And those kids, they weren't even nuts. She's nuts.
But young, and with a great deal of youth ahead of her.
If you mean future, you're wrong again. Now, a couple of years back, out on the coast, there was a time, it could have been different. She had something working for her. She could have really rolled. I know, see, because I'm the guy who was giving it the push.
He pointed a cigar at himself.
O.J. Berman.
He expected recognition, and I didn't mind obliging him, except I'd never heard of O.J. Berman. It developed that he was a Hollywood actor's agent.
I'm the first one saw her, out at Santa Anita. She's hanging around the track every day. I'm interested, well, professionally. I find out she's some jock's regular. She's living with a shrimp. I get the jock told, drop it if you don't want conversation with the Vice Boys. See, the kid's 15, but stylish, huh? Oh, she's okay, she comes across. Even when she's wearing glasses this thick, even when she opens her mouth and you don't even know if she's a hillbilly or an Okie or what, I still don't. My guess, nobody will ever know where she came from. She's such a goddamn liar. Maybe she doesn't know herself anymore. But it took us a year to smooth out that accent. How we did it? Finally, we gave her French lessons. After she could imitate French, it wasn't so long she could imitate English. People were interested, eh? Big ones. And to top it all, Benny Poland wants to marry her, huh? An agent could ask for more. And then, wham, the story of Dr. Wassel. You see that picture? Oh, Cecil B. DeMille. Gary Cooper. Jesus, I kill myself. It's all set. They're going to test her for the part of Dr. Wassel's nurse. One of his nurses, anyway. Then, wham, the phone rings. She says, this is Holly. I say, honey, you sound far away. She says, I'm in New York. I say, what the hell are you doing in New York when it's Sunday and you got a test tomorrow? She says, I'm in New York because I've never been to New York. I say, get your ass on a plane and get back here. She says, I don't want it. I say, what's your angle, doll? She says, you got to want it to be good, and I don't want it. I say, well, what the hell do you want? And she says, when I find out, you'll be the first to know. See what I mean? Horseshit on a platter. This is what she wants? He said, flinging out his arms. A lot of characters they aren't expected, living off tips, running around with bums. So maybe she could marry Rusty Trawler. You should pin a medal on her for that.
He waited, glaring. Sorry, I don't know him.
You don't know Rusty Trawler? You can't know much about the kid. Bad deal. I was hoping you maybe had influence, could level with the kid before it's too late.
But according to you, it already is. He blew a smoke ring, let it fade before he smiled.
I could get it rolling again, like I told you,
he said, and now it sounded true.
I sincerely like the kid.
What scandals are you spreading, O.J.?
Holly splashed into the room, a towel more or less wrapped around her.
Yeah, just the usual, that you're nuts.
Fred knows that already.
But you don't.
Light me a cigarette, darling,
she said, snatching off a bathing cap and shaking her hair.
I don't mean you, O.J. You're such a slob.
She scooped up the cat and swung him onto her shoulder. He perched there with the balance of a bird, his paws tangled in her hair as if he were knitting yarn. And yet, despite these amiable antics, it was a grim cat with a pirate's cutthroat face. One eye was gluey blind, the other sparkled with dark deeds.
O.J. is a slob, she told me, taking the cigarette I'd lighted. But he does know a terrific lot of phone numbers. What's David L. Selznick's number, O.J.?
Lay off.
It's not a joke, darling. I want you to call him up and tell him what a genius Fred is. He's written barrels of the most marvelous stories. Well, don't blush, Fred. You didn't say you were a genius. I did. Come on, O.J. What are you going to do to make Fred rich?
Suppose you let me settle that with Fred.
Remember, she said, leaving us, I'm his agent. Another thing, if I holler, come zipper me up. And if anybody knocks, let them in.